Today, we're going to think about the nature of the Holy Spirit. We're going to start a series on the Holy Spirit, or studies that are revolving around Him, miraculous abilities, the cessation of those things, lots of different things tied to the Holy Spirit of God. For today and another 5 weeks, Lord willing, we'll cover through these. And so we need to kick all of this off, trying to get an understanding of the Holy Spirit, the nature of the Holy Spirit. Our understanding of the nature of the Holy Spirit it's necessarily limited because there are many things about God in general that are going to be beyond our ability to fully comprehend or grasp. But there seems to be an added level of confusion when it comes to the Holy Spirit of God. Often we can be uncomfortable discussing the Holy Spirit simply because we haven't studied enough about Him. Or because there is a massive amount of false ideas and teachings about Him out in the world. The odds are through the roof that anybody who with a religious background that you interact with out in the world has potentially some pretty wild ideas about the Holy Spirit, the nature of Him, and what He does today versus what He did back then. Tons of things. And because of all of that, many folks just don't think or talk about the Holy Spirit much. But even with a limited understanding, we can know that the Father and the Son exist, that they possess the personalities, the characteristics of personhood and the characteristics of deity. And when I say personhood, I don't mean peoplehood, right? Personhood is persons, not peoples. And so likewise, we can determine whether or not the Holy Spirit possesses deity and the characteristics of deity, just like the Father and Son. That is the purpose of this sermon today. And then after we lay down that base of understanding about the nature of the Holy Spirit, we'll then go on and study His work or function in future sermons. Now, let's get started very simply here by just noting the names in the Bible of the Holy Spirit. It's something we need to take note of. The first thing I want to point out is that the Bible often uses interchangeable terms for the same things. For example, God is called Jehovah, Almighty, the Most High. The church is called the Kingdom, the Body, the House, the Bride. The Gospel is called the New Testament, the Truth, the Word of God, the Will of God. Christians are called children of God, disciples, saints, priests, right? Elders are called bishops, overseers, pastors, and presbyters, right? And so in each case, the different terms refer to the same person or thing or concept. Likewise, the Scripture uses a number of names interchangeably to refer to the Holy Spirit of God. And the first one, of course, is the Holy Spirit. That's an easy one, right? But there's other places where He's called like the Spirit of Truth or the Helper. Jesus promised to send the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, to the apostles in John 14. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him." But then what's He called in verse 26? It says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit." So same being, Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He'll teach you all the things and bring you to remembrance what I said. So Jesus calls this one who would be the Helper and the Spirit of Truth. He's also known as the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is referred to simply as the Spirit. In John 1:32, at Jesus' baptism, it says, "And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and He remained upon Him." Luke 3 is talking about the same thing, and he says, "And the Holy Spirit." So the Spirit and the Holy Spirit are referring to the same person. And then Jesus being, here they're in the same sentence, "And Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Now, here's what we need to note. When you get into that word, like if you were just start doing a word study and search, you got your Bible software out and you search the word Spirit, we note that in some contexts, the Spirit may be identified as a spirit other than the Holy Spirit. It might not even be a spirit being at all. It might be a different type of thing that's being used for, like, they've got a certain spirit about them type of thing. We'll note that more of that later, but the context has to determine what is meant when the word Spirit is used. If you did a search of the Greek, every time you read the word wind or air or breath, the same word is used for both, the Holy Spirit and that's pneuma, right? And so you can get in deep here, but the context, the vast majority of the time, tells us who's being spoken of. Finally, the Holy Spirit is sometimes referred to as the Spirit of God, or God may refer to the Holy Spirit as my Spirit. God will be talking about the Holy Spirit, and he refers to my Spirit, just like he says, my Son. He's referring to Jesus, who is his own person also. Others may refer to the Holy Spirit as his Spirit, speaking of God. For some examples here in Matthew 3:16, it says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw what? The Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Well, we just read earlier that was the Spirit, right? John chapter 1, and it was the Holy Spirit in Luke. So all these references is the same being. In Acts 2:17, quotes Joel 2:28, and says, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. But this same Spirit pouring out of my Spirit in Acts 2:4 and verse 33 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with one another as the Spirit gave them utterance. And verse 33, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out that which you see in here. Ephesians chapter 4 combines them. You know, it says the Holy Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 5, the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of the Lord are used interchangeably. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? So, Spirit of God, Spirit of the Lord, my Spirit, there's tons and tons of references or other names used for the Holy Spirit. There are many used names used when referring to this same being. And next, I do want to point out next that the Holy Spirit is in fact a being. There's a lot of people you interact with who do not believe the Holy Spirit is an actual individual being, that he's his own person. Now, like other Bible words, like I said, spirit can have different meanings depending on the context. The word spirit can be used to talk about characteristics, qualities, or attitudes possessed or expressed by a person. Spirit can, in that sense, can refer to a person's personality, disposition, their nature. John came in the spirit and power of Elijah. What's that mean? He acted a lot like Elijah did, right? And that's what that means, right? A spirit of slumber, right? A spirit of meekness, a meek and quiet spirit. The spirit of man is the inner man, right? The part that feels, that has will, that motivates those kind. And so the word spirit can refer to attitudes and qualities expressed by us. But spirit also may refer to a person or living being who possesses characteristics that are, here's the important part, individual, separate, and distinct from other beings. And the Bible mentions several kinds of beings or individuals who are spirit beings. God the Father and Jesus the Son, right? God is spirit. Those who worship him worship in spirit. He is his own individual. Jesus is his own individual. Angels are spiritual beings, ministering spirits, right? Hebrews 1. Satan and demons are both said to be spiritual beings, right? Human beings, we are spiritual beings. The body without the spirit is dead. The spirit of each individual is separate and distinct from the spirits of other beings. We get that. So is the Holy Spirit a living spirit being separate and distinct from other spirit beings like the Father and the Son and angels and demons and man? Well, again, some folks, when they think of God, they don't envision the Holy Spirit as being his own person. But we have tons of passages that tell us the Holy Spirit possesses the characteristics and qualities of a distinct living being. Look at this list with me. I mean, think about what is said about the Holy Spirit in these various passages. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is eternal. He is good. He could be blasphemed. He teaches. He testifies. He guides. He can be lied to. He can be resisted, right? He leads. He forbids, right? He has a mind. He loves. He searches. He has knowledge. He has his own will. He can be grieved. He speaks. He can be despised. He intercedes. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. We often refer to him as being the third person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is not just, he's not just a characteristic. He's not just an attitude. He's not just some power or some force. Rather, he is a living being who possesses the characteristics of personhood. Next, think about this. He's referenced and referred to with masculine pronouns, and that point helps confirm the personal nature of the Holy Spirit. This passage alone, look at this. John 16, 13 through 15 says, this is Jesus speaking. However, when he, The Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare to you, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare to you. He, right? Next, he's referred to along with the Father and Son, who are also individual living persons. Matthew 28, right? Jesus said to be, said, go make disciples, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Clearly, the Father and Son are living being spirit beings, right? I mean, how could the command make any sense if the Holy Spirit is just some force or power or characteristic rather than a living being just like the Father and Son? 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Since Christ and God are living beings, how would this make any sense if the Holy Spirit is just an attitude or a characteristic of the Father? But yet there's people who believe that stuff. Luke 3, 21 and 22, when Jesus was baptized, the Father spoke from heaven, the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove. That pictures the Holy Spirit as having life of himself like that of the Father and the Son. Those verses show us that the Holy Spirit to be acting jointly with other persons. Since he's like a person, right? Acts like a person along with other persons, that demands that he is a person like other persons in the context. Here's some more separation of his own personhood. Matthew 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you to Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she'll bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The Holy Spirit conceived Jesus in the womb of Mary. So the Holy Spirit must be a separate and distinct person from Jesus himself. There are people who believe in what's often called the Jesus-only doctrine, the Jesus-only position, and they believe God is one, hero of Israel, God is one, but they believe literally, not three persons, but one, and it's Jesus. And so Jesus sometimes will put on his God the Father hat, and other times will put on his Holy Spirit hat, and he's playing all three roles, right? The Bible teaches otherwise, right? Yeah, Matthew 12 says, therefore I say to you, think about this one, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, speaking of Jesus, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. And so if the Holy Spirit was just another name for Jesus or just a part of Jesus, as some claim, then blaspheming the Holy Spirit would be blaspheming Jesus. But Jesus says it's not. They're not the same thing. Therefore, they are distinct from one another. Again, John 15, 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So who sent the Holy Spirit to the apostles? Jesus sent. You know, when Jesus was about to die and return to the Father in heaven, he promised that afterward, I'm sending someone else in my place. He's going to take my place. He's not going to be in a body like I've been. They're not going to be able to lay hands on him, and he's going to give you all the truth. And so we have one living individual being sending another individual to do a work. How about this passage, Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, says, therefore there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The body, right? The body is not the hope. It's not, right? The baptism is not the Lord, right? The faith is not the God. So also the one Spirit is distinct from the one Lord and from the one God and Father. The Holy Spirit is a living spirit being, just as surely as the Father and the Son are. But he is not the Father, and he is not the Son. Nor is he just a part of the Father or part of the Son. Rather, he is distinct and individual. If we can understand how the Father and Son can exist as separate individuals, then we can understand how the Holy Spirit can exist as a separate individual. And this understanding is absolutely key to understanding all of the works of the Holy Spirit, all the understanding future lessons. When we get into the work of the Holy Spirit, how he operates then and now, we have to have it in our minds that this is a living spirit being in and of himself. He has locality like God does, like Christ does. And, but next I want to also think about the more the deity of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is a living spirit being, and he's not the Father, and he's not the Son, then what position does he hold? Well, we've noted enough, right? We noted he's not a demon, he's not a human, he's not an angel. That only leaves deity. But he's also referred to in terms of deity. We noted that. He's called God all over the place in the Scripture. Ananias and Sapphira, when they said, who did Ananias lie to in verse 3 of chapter 5 in Acts? It's the Holy Spirit. And by lying to the Holy Spirit, he says, you didn't lie to man, you lied to God. The Holy Spirit is God. Lying to him is lying to God. And I want to add, he does the works of deity also. Clear back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was present at creation and involved in it. In Psalm 139, it's describing God as being all-knowing and present everywhere. And David asked, where can I go from your Spirit? Right? God the Holy Spirit can see where David's at, just like God the Father and God the Son. The Holy Spirit is the all-knowing source of revelation. Like in Mark 13, Jesus tells the apostles, don't worry when you're arrested what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you exactly what to say. Who gave us the inspired Bible? The Holy Spirit did. I mean, who knew all truth and guided the apostles in all truth? We already read the Holy Spirit was going to do that. That's the work of deity. Paul talks about how the Holy Spirit made known the mysteries of Christ. Peter talks about how no prophecy came from man, but men spoke as they were moved along by the Holy Spirit. The message of Scripture is the message of God, and the Holy Spirit is the source of that. And on top of that, throughout the Bible, the Holy Spirit is spoken of as the source of the miraculous. He's the one who engaged in those things, right? And only God can do that. Right, Mary conceived the virgin birth through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon the apostles in Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and they spoke with tongues, again, miraculous. Hebrews 2 talks about God bore witness to the message of inspired writers by the miracles, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. By the very nature of the miraculous, their source must be God, must be a deity, and the Holy Spirit is the one who gets the credit, so to speak, for that. A study of the Holy Spirit shows that he's not just a force or a characteristic. He is a living spirit being who possesses personal characteristics. He's not just another name for the Father. He's not just another name for the Son. He is not just some part of them. He is a separate and distinct individual being from each of them. Yet, he possesses characteristics and does the work that can only be true of deity. Again, if we can understand and have our minds wrapped around the concepts, understandings of God the Father and God the Son being their own distinct individuals, we can do the same with the Holy Spirit. The God we worship consists of three separate and distinct beings. Understanding the nature of the Holy Spirit is vital when it comes to future studies. We're going to look at miraculous gifts of the Spirit, their purpose. We're going to think about the way they were imparted to mankind, how and when they ceased, because today that's what a lot of folks do. They still claim things, the Holy Spirit's doing things that he never promised to do, right? They didn't take him at his word, so to speak. And then from there, we'll think about the gift of the Holy Spirit. We'll think about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and understanding the nature of the Holy Spirit, being like the Father, separate individual, like the Son, separate individual, is vital in our moving forward with those other studies. But in closing today, we need to note this. Just like the Father and just like the Son, the Holy Spirit wants to have fellowship with us, right? We should want the same, right? And the only way, though, the only way that can happen is if we're obedient to the word that he gave us. Our God is an awesome God. And this awesome God, right, trying to contemplate, right, God in three persons. Good luck. He's God. Right? He's an awesome God. He's amazing. Our revelation study today, same thing. But that being, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they want to spend eternity with every one of us. That is God's will. That is his want. How badly does he want it? The price he paid? Everything? So let's make sure that in response to him giving everything, that we're doing everything we can to make sure that happens on our end. If you've been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and you're not living right, change that. Change that, because there's no hiding it from the Holy Spirit of God. He knows whether we're living right or not. If you haven't repented and been baptized, why do you wait? Please respond this morning, but come to the front as we stand and sing.